1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving great honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
Good morning, everyone. A couple of weeks ago, we celebrated Pentecost, the birth of the church, when God gave the gift of his Holy Spirit. And we were reminded that the Spirit is for all people at all times. We have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. When we decide to follow Jesus, to give our life to him, we receive the Holy Spirit as a deposit, like the pilot light on a boiler, marking us out as someone who belongs in the family of God. But we can receive the infilling of the Spirit repeatedly and continually throughout our life, like when the boiler fires up. As it says in Ephesians 5, verse 18, be being filled, keep on being filled with the Spirit. And then last week, we heard how because the first disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and lived in his power, they were able to share everything. They had everything in common. They were of one mind. They were a united community. And today we're going to look at the other side of this coin, community and diversity. In other words, we may share the same outlook on life, the same goals, the same beliefs, the same passion to see God's kingdom come, but we are not and should not be the same. And there is beauty in diversity. In the first part of chapter 12, before the passage that we've just heard, there's an explanation of spiritual gifts and of the fact that though there are many gifts, they're all given by the same Spirit. In other words, diversity within unity. Within the community of the church, there are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. Or as the Message translation puts it, the variety is wonderful. Paul begins by focusing on what we have in common. We've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. And then he introduces the analogy of the body, which is really helpful in understanding how God means this to work in the context of the church. And I'd like to share three foundational principles for living as a church from the passage which Claire read to us. The thread running through these principles is the fact that being different whilst yet being a united community is absolutely essential. So, first of all, we need one another. In verse 12, it says, the many parts make up one whole body. In other words, if you're missing, then something's missing from the body. Sometimes we may feel as though we're not needed. This may be out of pride because we think we're better than others. Or it may be the result of low self-esteem because we think that we're worse than others. It may even be because someone has told us that we're not needed. But this is a lie. You have inbuilt, God-given potential. But this potential is not to be fulfilled individually by yourself, but as part of the body of Christ, the church. All of you together are Christ's body. And in Romans 12, it says we're many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. David Pryor says, any Christian who operates independently from others is reducing their own effectiveness and that of the body as a whole. We need one another. But secondly, we differ from one another. And there are three key verses in this passage which help us to understand this. Verse 18 says, God has put each part just where he wants it. And then in verse 24, it says, God has put the body together. And this, the verb that is used in this sentence is the same verb that's used for when you mix paints together. When you mix paint, you can't unmix it. And it's the same with the body of Christ. And then thirdly, verse 11 says, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And God gives a whole range of gifts. Some of them are listed in verses 7 to 10 and again in verse 28. This is wonderfully liberating. You don't need to be or behave like the person sitting next to you. Psalm 139 tells us that we are each fearfully and wonderfully made. God takes delight in making us individually and differently from everyone else. No person is a replica of another. God never imitates. You've probably heard that each snowflake is unique. Well, if God can do it for snowflakes, how much more does he do it for us? In fact, God actually doesn't want us to be like each other. And that's why he gives us different spiritual gifts. God has arranged this diversity. You are unique. You are distinctive. You are irreplaceable. And you are unrepeatable. Thirdly, we are to care for one another. God's view of community is radically different from that of the culture around us. In verse 22, it says some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Let me just read that again. Some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Would you say that in today's society, the weakest and the least important are seen as the most necessary? As Christians, as God's family, we're not encouraged to tolerate the weak, but we're told to honour them, to celebrate them, to consider them the most necessary. Those with disabilities, whether visible or not. Those with additional needs, such as autism or ADHD. Those with depression or anxiety or other mental health challenges. Those with dementia. Those with addictions. The oldest amongst us. The youngest amongst us. The lonely. The strangers. The outsiders. The foreigners, the aliens. We need them all, and they are the most necessary, the most important. Why? Because in the world's eyes, they seem weak and vulnerable and less important and have less dignity, but they're not to God. And so they shouldn't be to us. What are we asked to do? Well, this passage tells us that we're asked to take care of them, to protect them, to support them, to honour them. Elsewhere in the New Testament, Paul underlines this message. In Acts 20, he says, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And then again in 1 Thessalonians, he says, encourage the disheartened, help the weak. And this is what we are aiming to do with our new Hub of Hope, which will be running out of Oasis Cafe. Oasis is already a place where people feel safe, where they feel welcome, where they feel accepted. We want to extend this, and soon we'll be announcing plans for ongoing and new groups to support the well-being of people of all ages in our community. God loves the weak. And actually, doesn't the weak include all of us? We're all weak. To be human is to be fragile, vulnerable, broken. And if you're anything like me, there are times in your life when you struggle, when you feel less able to cope. And that's precisely why God designed us to be a body. When we're weak, those around us take care of us, protect us, help us, look after us. And at other times in our life, it will be us doing the same for them. This is what Jesus was talking about when he spoke in the Sermon on the Mount about those who are poor in spirit, those who are humble, those who are grieving. He declared blessing over them. And the word blessed isn't just wishing someone a bit of happiness. It's the Greek word makarios, which is the highest form of well-being known to humankind. Here, shockingly, Jesus is declaring that well-being or blessing over the least in society. This shalom or peace or well-being isn't only available to those who are able to get their act together. It's for all of us. And it's expressed in community. In his commentary on this passage, Nicky Gumbel says this: "You're not intended to live alone. God created you for community. A community as close and as interdependent as the various parts of the human body. We now belong to one another. Our relationships are as intimate as the different parts of a body. We're utterly dependent on each other. The more different we are, the more we need each other. Variety is essential. We shouldn't look at the different parts of the body of Christ and say, they're different, there must be something wrong with them. Rather, we should say, they're different, we really need them. And so, to summarise, we need one another, we differ from one another, and we are to care for one another. And it's in the power of the Holy Spirit, and by everyone using the different gifts that he gives, that we are able to do this. Verse 7 tells us that spiritual gifts are given so that we can help each other, or for the common good. In other words, what God has given us is for the benefit of others. In 1 Peter 4, it says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. In his commentary on 1 Corinthians, David Pryor puts it like this: as the body of Christ operates in this way, so the individual members will find their needs met. The need for security is met in the assurance that I belong to the body. The need for identity is met in recognizing and working at the fact that I have a distinctive contribution to bring to the body. The need for a proper sense of responsibility is met by assuming concern for others in the body. I need you. I feel with you. I rejoice with you. So each individual grows as a person and as a Christian in direct relation to their finding their place as a member of the body. In the Message translation, verses 25 and 26 say this: the way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. This is the kind of community that we need, where people can process their pain and share their joys, where everyone is welcome, everyone is valued, and where there is equal concern for all. So how is this possible? Well, the clue is in the final verse of chapter 12, which acts as an introduction to the very famous chapter which follows. Paul speaks of a way of life. And when we read on, we discover that this way of life is love. Jesus said, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. And Paul says, do everything in love. Last week, Mark urged us to encourage one another, to spur one another on, to love well. This is what makes us distinctive. This is what makes Jesus beautiful to the world. And this is what brings his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And once again, this love is a gift from God. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So we're going to take a moment now, first of all, just to come before God and to look in awe at the God of love, who loves us so much more than we could ever possibly imagine. So I invite you just to perhaps close your eyes, perhaps hold your hands out before God, and let's just take a moment of quiet to reflect on God's love for you, God's love for each person that he has created, and to thank him for his wonderful gift of love.